Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Good afternoon. It is Sunday, October 4th, the Lord's Day, and we were set to come on at 12:30. And this is Dr. Shirley Caniff of WSDIRO, and my husband, the other general manager, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. And it's been a while since we've been doing this. I figured that we were in outreach, and boy, we're in a real aggressive day about, you know, like a two-week outreach time period where we just kept going and going and going. I don't see how people can do this without resting in the Lord. I mean, we spent a lot of time resting in the Lord, and then the Lord called us to a time of activity. But then maybe he gave us a bird's eye view as to how things are going to be. But then he called us to time of rest again, and so we will be able to start up our fall lineup of Faith Talks Live Prayer on Blog TV, which we will, you know, we air from Blog TV to YouTube, station on YouTube, on the WSTKI TV station, as well as on Facebook. So, you know, we're looking forward to setting them up again. We did take a hiatus of about, I would say, from broadcast and on live internet television. We took a time off of about a month, just so everybody can get their, you know, get their bearings and, you know, wait on the Lord and rest, and then get come into this new season that he has. And I believe it's a new season of conversions. We've been hearing this in the body of Christ. I've been hearing it in the spirit. As of lately, the Lord has been really breaking that down to me as to what that means for us in ministry. Convergence is opposite of diversion. Convergence is, the prefix of convergence is con, C-O-N, and in Spanish it means with, in Latin it means with. And, of course, the opposite of that is divergence. That means it's a pulling apart. It's a division. But the Lord is doing a new thing in a way he hasn't done before through social media networking and what he's doing in his heart and his bride. He's just bringing us all together using these various venues and of outreach. And I only thought it was going to just be the social media network, but the Lord is opening up a physical place. He's doing in the spiritual, he's converging, and you're going to start seeing people manifest what he's doing in the spirit. And every day, whether they're like with their families, with the communities, whether it be global or local, and it's just going to be awesome because it's something that God is doing in his love, you know, because there can only be unity through Jesus, in Jesus, through the love of the Father, as his love is being poured out for such a time as this. My teleprompter is saying that we have an hour and 2 minutes, but, we are actually probably going to be more like 45 minutes and things like that. Well, yesterday, talking about God coming into ordinary time, and you can hear the tweet above me, it's not a bird in here, it's actually our fire alarm, and we have to get that battery replaced. So all those who have fire alarms, and if you hear that tweet, get that battery replaced. And I tell you why. We almost lost our house due to a fire from our neighbors who live underneath us. And had we not listened to the voice of the Lord to come back and check on the place and also pick up what we left here for the next thing on our list, the house would have been up in flames, because usually on Friday I go from one place to the other, and it's in a matter of hours that I come back home after my husband comes back from his other job. So, because we have working fire alarms, we have a house that stands today. Unfortunately, we do need to pray for our neighbors, because the damage was so excessive that they could not return to their place. But we had no damage up here, so I just thank the Lord. And, We plead the blood of Jesus over our house and over everything. But sometimes, you know, if people are not living right, you know, or living according to the will of God, they can only receive so much protection. Our protection becomes their protection, especially if when you're sharing living space in the same building, and we have been praying for them all along. But the Lord's definitely requiring them to come closer to Him. And thank God that no lives are lost. But the Lord has them here for a reason, and it's so that they can receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So pray for our neighbors downstairs in the first floor apartment. Okay. Well, I wanted to stick back to how the Lord breaks into ordinary time because He created time. Time is a creation. We are eternal. We are beings with that, you know, inherit everlasting life. We have a dual nature.
The time is 1:00 p.m.
And that other interruption is our digital secretary, Rose. Okay. So anyway, I want to come back to the, you know, how we are, you know. God's creation made in His image, okay, with a dual nature of we're spirit and we also are you know, flesh, and the unique part of our being, the flesh part, is created to adhere to the laws of time. But then in our divinity, because we're made in the image and likeness of Jesus, God can come into that part of our being and break into time to promote His purposes on this earth, okay? And so in my ordinary life, when my husband was at work, I decided to do some housework. I said, well, we need some laundry, and I think that's about time we get this done. Because at some point, we're going to need clean clothes to do what God's called us to do, because we have to leave the house and we have to look out past. And so that's why we need to do the laundry. And I know this is common sense to many people, but sometimes we just do too many things and we'll forget the household chores. And, you know, and the biggest part, one of the biggest things to deal to us is our laundry. So, and I'm sure that is to you too. So anyway, I'm doing, you know, what I need to be doing, and for my husband and myself. And all of a sudden, as I'm putting the clothes into the laundry bag, lo and behold, the Lord taps me on the shoulder in the spirit, whispers into my mind, okay, that He created. And it was real quick, Psalm 98. Now, I wasn't thinking Psalm 98. I was thinking, I have to separate the white clothes from the dark clothes. And I was thinking about where am I going to do my laundry? Because of the fire, the basement that we have our laundry, you know, our washing machine and dryer, they were unplugged for some reason until they renovate the place downstairs. So I decided that I just wanted to do my laundry in a bigger container of to watch the sheet and dryer. I don't know why I'm stuck on this laundry thing. I think what's going on right now, I'm getting this in the spirit. You know, when you confess your sins one to another, Jesus is there. As you know, if people are Catholic or Orthodox, you know, it's built-in given that you are to go to, you know, the father or the pastor or the priest to confess your sins, because they have that authority over them that's been handed down from the apostles. When we are baptized believers, if we choose not to follow the Orthodox or the Catholic tradition in this area, then what holds true for us is that we can confess our sins to one to another. If you're a baptized believer, okay, truly baptized, in water baptism and also by the laying of the hands to receive Holy Spirit in power and in glory. So the Lord comes into time here and tells me just what I need to read. And before I left the house, I decided, all right, let me just drop that laundry for a second and go to the scripture, and that's what I did. And I was so amazed as to what the Lord wanted to show me. Now, it's so funny. I'm a worshiper. My husband's a worshiper. The Lord's been revealing many things to the office of worship. But, you know, there are times where we can get distracted and we can take things for granted. But when the Lord does this to me, taps me on my shoulder to re-emphasize something again, he already knows that I get it. He already knows that my husband gets it. But he really wants to show me. He teaches me things that I need to know, for, you know, so I can teach things to the body of Christ, whether on Facebook or in, you know, in whatever he call, whatever venue he calls us to teach in. And so when I read that, Psalm 98, I don't memorize these by heart. So when the Lord tells me Psalm 98, I better go to Psalm 98 because on my own merits, I don't memorize it. I get it into my spirit so that when the Holy Spirit reveals something to me through his rhema word, it wells up from within my spirit, you see. And then I just go through the scriptures for confirmation. Or sometimes they show me a verse in the spirit. And then I'll ask my husband, who seems to know these things by heart. I'm like, so where in the scripture is this particular phrase? And he'll point me to that direction. And I should use a concordance, but we have several of them laying around in our libraries in different parts of the house. And sometimes, you know, the Lord just wants us to act on these things and just be available at that minute. So, you know, lots of times the scriptures are right in my hand, but the concordance is, you know, sometimes you got to just take your time to understand certain kinds of concordances because there are more than one. But anyway, I want to get back. I want to stay focused on Psalm 98. When I read Psalm 98, I just started rejoicing. And a new song, the Lord put an old song about the new song back in my heart, and it was sung in a new way. So it was amazing that he did this. And then he began to bring to my spirit something that he had put into my spirit in a dream. And I'll share that with you after we read Psalm 98. All right? Okay. My husband's flipping to Psalm 98. Wow. Ready there? Ready, Jeffrey? Okay. I just want to say, before we go on to Psalm 98, I want to say hi to all my Facebook friends and YouTube friends and a new friend who actually has come on board, and we work with her each day. Her name is Elena Eason and Ann Adams from Serve New England and all the board of directors of Serve New England and that of SEEK as well. And some new friends that we also that also came on board this morning when I was on Facebook. I decided to, you know, I was going to invite a lot more friends. And I did. Somebody named Hepzibah from India. I had a long and intense conversation with her. I thought she was a hymn at first, but she realized that I didn't know that she was a he. I mean, he was a she. And, you know, because you don't really see these things. Sometimes a person doesn't have their picture there, or sometimes they have a picture that is not of a human nature, maybe a symbol, a Christian symbol, and that's okay. But, you know, it's good that we have that I Am chat going on. And I found out so many things about her. And now she's sending me a book on intercessory prayer because our prayer ministry, our ministry, See Christian Teaching and Worship Center, is primarily a teaching prayer center. A worship center, and we, you know, primarily emphasize how prayer is the foundation of your ministry and anything that you do for the Lord and anything in your life. It is the, you know, ground that springs forth life and life in abundance. So, you know, that's the purpose behind our school of ministry, Seek International Leadership School of Ministry, and and also see Christian teaching and worship center. And as time goes on, we'll hear more about that because one of the things going to happen in 2010. We have a physical place, thanks to the generosity of Southern New England, as we serve them in the community, with the folks in the community, and we serve them through our ministry. God has opened up a way for us to have a physical building in order to further promote his ministry flowing through us, because everything that we have comes from Father God above, and it's nothing in our own doing. And my husband wants to say something. Oh, you don't? Oh, you just look at me like you're agreeing. Okay. All right, let's go to Psalm 98, all right? Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of singing. With trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. And after I read that, the Lord was welling up this song from, like, you know, the early days in the Charismatic Renewal, when I became part of the Charismatic Renewal, and from the 80s. And it was so appropriate, because I know that's where they got the song from, you know, because the Psalms are all songs of David. They're all songs of ascent. And but sometimes, you know, we have to go back to the former things in order for the Lord to bring about a new thing. And we are entering into the season where the Lord can release a new song from heaven, new sounds from heaven, new colors from, you know, sounds that emit colors and frequencies and sounds that will, you know, that cause creative miracles. There's so many things that happen with songs and sounds and color frequencies from heaven. You know, if you ever notice the rainbow, the color of the rainbow when it comes, a lot of people take rainbows for granted, but they don't really understand the origin. If they don't understand the measurement of color and its connection to the frequency of sound, as it relates to light, okay, they lose the meaning, the spiritual significance of what this means. I mean, the Lord spoke, the Lord who is light, the light of the world, Jesus, the logo, and he spoke rainbow words and spoke everything into existence as he saw the Father create it, okay, and he's the light of the world. He was there from the beginning, right? I'm talking about Jesus, the Lord made flesh, who made his dwelling among men, okay, and the tents of men, all right? Our bodies are really tents, okay? We are tabernacles of the Most High God. And this is for only those who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the reality, the spiritual realities behind that, the kingdom realities that is behind that reality. Now, you know, Jesus, the light of the world, dwelt among men, but he was also... that's why they call him the Alpha Omega. He's the beginning and the ending of all things. He was at the beginning when time was created and when the earths were created, okay, and the heavens and the earth were created. He was the Logos that spoke everything into existence. Now, you must know this. He created sound, okay? But he needed to be light first to create the sound, okay? Light came first, and then light spoke things into existence. And Jesus is the light of the world. He spoke things into existence. He spoke mankind into existence. He spoke all the earth into existence. Everything that the earth contains, everything that the universe contains, everything that is within you, okay, he spoke that, and you know? And so the thing is, and then the created thing produced a sound, a frequency, all right, that manifested itself in color, you know, and in matter and in mass, all right? So and it wasn't happening one step at a time. It was happening all at once because Jesus is he's omnipresent, okay, through the Holy Spirit. And I know this is really heavy for many people, but, you know, this is who God is. This is who God is through his son, Jesus, and this is who God is has manifested through the person of the Holy Spirit, which is spirit of Jesus and the living God, God the Father. And so, and they are all one, okay? But yet they have a distinct character. And that's what makes us unique because we have that, we contain that Trinity within us. We contain a kingdom of heaven within us and everything that is part of the kingdom. And so singing a new song makes more sense when you understand this. Singing a new song allows one to participate in the perfection of creation, all right, as we move from glory to glory, as the kingdom of heaven is revealed from God's within God's people and manifested in power and glory on the earth. So when I read this, my spirit was singing, and I just wanted to sing this song because I know it's going to release something because it was releasing something to me, within me, through revelation. And I really believe that I wasn't able to do a show until I went back and meditated on Psalm 98 and then sang it out. So we are going to sing a new song unto the Lord, a new song about, you know, about what God's going to do. You know, and people might have heard the song before, but the new thing about this is that we're singing it in the now, you know, in the eternal now, and God is going to do some things, you know, within your DNA and also within our DNA, and we may not know fully what it is, but he's going to release something, okay? And some he would release new songs, and some he would release creative miracles, and some he will release a new way of doing things, a new way of thinking, a new perspective on people, places, situations, and also a new perspective on who God is, okay? He's going to do a lot of things as we sing this song, okay? And, you know, if some people might want to call it harp and bow. I'm just calling it singing out God's word through revelation as we receive it. All right. So I'm just going to put the phone down here because I've got you all on speakerphone. And hopefully we're going to, it's going to project, okay? And we'll be able to sing this new song, all right? So let's go. Oh, I'm going to get my tambourine. I think this requires a tambourine here. Well, maybe I can play my drum. Maybe the tambourine. Lord, what do you want me to play? The tambourine, okay. See how, you know, he speaks my thoughts, and then I'm like, okay, I got that inspiration. One, two, three. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth, for the Lord is great and worthy to be praised. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised.
Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Worthy, for the Lord is great and worthy to be praised. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord on the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord on the earth.
Hallelujah. Wow, that was fun. Whoa. See? Something, the Lord did something in the spirit. I could feel a energy flowing of his presence. It's so awesome. His presence, Lord, your presence is so awesome. Just tell the Lord right now, everyone, that Lord Jesus, I love your presence. Holy Spirit, I love you. I love you because you are the Spirit of Jesus being poured out upon the earth right now. And I am so privileged to be a part of this. Lord, I just honor you. We want to glorify you more and more and more each day in our lives. To know you as a Father, to know you as a Son, and to know you as the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And to honor you as the Father, to honor you as the Son, and to honor you as the Holy Spirit. To love you as the Father, to love you as the Son, and to love you as the Holy Spirit. Lord, could you just make this more real in our friends, the listening audience, and also in us. We thank you, Lord. May it be more of a reality each day. We thank you, Lord. Whoa, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for doing a new thing. Thank you, Lord, for doing a new thing in your people throughout the earth, Lord. And in the time of conversions, I want to minister to and teach out of that thought about conversions, you know. We had a dream. I had a dream. My husband was in the dream. I say we because lots of times I have to tell my husband that the Lord puts him in my dreams. I'm like, he's always in my dreams. So, you know, we're one. So, but naturally, the Lord would do that, right? And, of course, he was a silent spectator in the dream. He was right next to me. And in this dream, I was in a train, all right? And it was at night. We're traveling on train at night. And it felt like it was, like, going to become morning at any time. And it was funny how the train track, had converged from the town that I lived in to a town that I grew up in. And it was, something was coming through Boston. And it was funny. It was like one train was going in one direction, another train was going in another direction, another train was headed on out. But we had to be aware, in this dream, we had to be aware of the time that each train was coming, because if we missed the transferring from one train to another, we were going to miss things. We were going to miss out on things altogether, and we were just going to be stranded. So we had to be aware of the timing of the trains. And in dreams, in visions, trains do mean ministry. It means, but all these trains were coming all together at one time, and they were converging. So, you know, it means that there are many, many ministries in this end time that the Lord is having come together, okay, for a certain purpose. But the whole deal here is that, you know, the people that are coming together, the ministries that are coming together, they need to know, they need to come together on time, on the Lord's time, not on their time, not on man's time. but on the time, the right timing. And at times you can't just sit and just think about it. Now, I was thinking, that's what it was. I was doing in the dream, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking so hard that I nearly missed the train. I was like, the train was coming, and as I was thinking, it seemed like what I was thinking was delaying whether I board the train or not, okay? And sometimes when that happens and you're in the middle of an oncoming train, you can have a head-on collision with anything. So it was, you just needed to know where to be at the right time. And it also in the train dream, it was funny. It was like, even if a person did miss the train, it was like another one was coming. You just have to wait. And it was coming right from behind it. So, you know, God, in this move, God is really saying if people are missing certain connections, it's okay. There will be another connection. And it would just, you know, because he wants, it's just going to be, he's going to send one train after another, because he wants to accomplish a purpose. And his purpose is worldwide. It is a worldwide flow of his Holy Spirit. Okay. And I want to go back to how me and my husband, how we responded to the Lord in this dream. And so, the train finally came. But in order to get on this particular train, it was so funny. We had to go down on an elevator to the next level. We were like too high up on the platform, but we had to go down. There was actually tracks, like, down a couple of notches. And it was funny. It was like, I didn't like the feeling that we had to go down, but then I got peace that it was okay to go down and get on the train. Then it was like, we were so surprised because it was like another set of train tracks. But it was like we were at the right place at the right time. And I'm like, well, what are we going to need, Lord, to get on this train? And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, footprints were being put on our feet. You know, those flip-flops? The flip-flops were being put on our feet. And they weren't just any flip-flops. They were rainbow flip-flops with rainbow colors of, if I can recall this in my vision, blue, green, yellow, there was like a pink color in there, a pinkish-reddish color. And there was the cutest thing. They just kept looking at them because I didn't have shoes on. My husband didn't have shoes on. We were barefoot, and we didn't want to walk on, like, you know, the ground and everything because it was, you know, oily. You know the ground around the train tracks. We don't want to step on the third rail, you know, because we were, you know, get stuck and fried. But that doesn't happen in God's dreams, of course. But anyways, so slippers, you know, for us to ride that particular train, we had to put those flip-flops on. Now, why flip-flops? I have no idea. I don't like to wear them in a natural, but these ones were spiritual flip-flops. Now, flip-flop might mean a couple of things. We're thinking a certain way. And then God comes in there into our time, and he changes our own plan, and he changes our own finite minds, which is infinite mind, and he flips our mind to his way of thinking. So and then the rainbow means his love. So he wanted us to, because of the group of people that he has us around now, they're coming from various backgrounds, but they're all coming from different areas, but we're going to meet on, you know, on the Lord's timetable and according to how the Lord wants us all to meet to get some things accomplished. And, it took us to, like, say, well, we don't normally in our own mind want to associate with people that, don't have the same beliefs as us, but, you know, but in this time of convergence, the Lord's bringing everybody together, you know, that has a common purpose so he can get his kingdom work done. And along the way, they will begin to see like him, and they will, you know, take on on Christ. They will put on Christ, okay? They will put on the robe of Christ because he's going to cause some people to teach others to do that. He's going to cause, you know, and just by just association, everything's going to come, you know, together. But we've got to be obedient, and we have to humble the Lord by His Holy Spirit. We have to allow Him to humble ourselves, to bring us a couple notches lower, to get into that low place so He can do some mighty things. And that's what happened. As soon as we put those slippers on, the train started moving. And that was like awesome. I woke up and I was like, I had that shaking up thing in my being, in my spirit, and I knew, all right, God is doing something. And I said, I know what it is. He's doing this as we serve people and serve New England and seek together. And God is like, He's taken our ministry, you know, seek means seeking the kingdom, but the lost, who seek the kingdom? The lost. You know, and there's a lot of people that are searching and they are seeking, and they're seeking to serve. So the Lord is having us come around a group of people that have a heart for Him, about, you know, because of the different assaults of the world on their heart and mind. You know, kind of like their perspective got a little sidetracked, but He's bringing them back into a place where they will receive His heavenly perspective, and they will get back on the right track and also continue to do what God's called them to do. And so, you know, He's doing this, and it's just so wonderful. And it's just an awesome time to be living and things like that. No, he's telling us that we're not lowering our perspective. We're raising it by allowing Him to do the work in us and through us and in His people, still yet to be called His own. And He knows what He's doing because He is God, and we are not, you know, and it's just amazing. Jeff, honey, do you have anything that you want to add to this? We have about 28 minutes left, so did you want to add something in there, in the mix? Okay, we'll give you a minute. I want to continue on in this conversion. There is an anointing on this word conversion. We're coming together. Well, you know, the Lord wants to meet people, and that He wants to meet all of our needs. And, you know, there are so many different things that are happening. The world is changing at the drop of a dime. But what He's doing is He's resurrecting ministries that would cater to the needs of the people, to the basic needs, the need for food, shelter, a safe place, and also in clothing. And also, He's also wanting to fulfill spiritual needs, okay? Just think about how He fed the loaves and fishes to the 5,000. He had to meet some needs in order for them to hear what He is saying, and what the Holy Spirit has revealed through Him about the love of the Father for them. The other thing is that in this conversion, He just wants to bring it all together, you know, bring the qualities of the kingdom of God out, and even the ones that bring the kingdom to the people, through thought, through word, through action, and through deeds. And, you know, and then there's the building up of the kingdom of the body of Christ, where people are going to need to know how to serve their brothers, their fellow brothers or sisters, you know, through community development. So that's what, you know, basically how, what He's given us. And it's just amazing how, you know, it's just amazing what He's doing as we've taken Him by the hand. And the conversion phenomena, I just had a vision of this earlier this morning. It goes like this. And because I have to ask the Lord, just how are you manifesting your presence in this conversion? When the Lord shows me something, I have to ask Him. I have to know the why. I have to keep asking, and that's my prayer. You know, because I want to know how He thinks. I want to
you know, I just want to think like him and things like that. So he showed me the wave. I was actually on Facebook on the TACS official site, and I became a fan of theirs. I was already a fan of this before Facebook, though. I was actually taught in the Leadership School of Ministry in July of 2001. You know, what this blessed John and Carol Arnott was for being faithful stewards of this incredible ministry that you've given, and this ministry of the Father's love. But anyways, I saw what captured my eye on the Facebook page was that you had a picture of the TACF. When my husband and I were there, we actually saw the wave of revival going over that building. Somebody drew a picture of that. They painted a prophetic picture. It's on there right now, so feel free to go there after the show. And it was like this wave of revival going over, TACF. And then what happened was when I saw that on the Facebook page, all of a sudden I saw it hit the shoreline, and then there was a riptide after that, a huge riptide. And I don't know, if anybody is a swimmer or if you've been to the a seashore where there was actually a riptide current. I actually got caught in one at the National Seashore, and I understood with the wave going over my head and not being in control. And it's the power of a riptide, never mind a tsunami. Once you're in the riptide, you just can't go out, come back. And, you can by the grace of God, but, lots of times that's how people get swept out to sea. But you end up getting rocks and the sand in your mouth and everything, and you realize how strong the gravitational pull is of high tide, low tide, and rip tide. So a small rip tide is pretty awesome and gruesome experience, but also on a major level. But I begin to see how the wave broke. And in the spirit, and how it caused this tremendous riptide, but then as it was coming together, it was like various people groups they were all coming together and in line, riptides they pull apart and then they come together. They it seemed to separate the ocean like right to left, and then it comes together and things like that. It converges. So there's a divergence in the riptide, and then there's a convergence. First of all, the breaker anointing comes, the gusher comes. Then there's a separation of and the drawing, and the gathering of the particles underneath the waves. And then there's a conversion. So, the body of Christ had been coming from a time of division, of the different denominations spread throughout the earth, probably. It likened unto the diaspora of Jewish people all over the world. So as Israel comes together and as the Lord's Holy Spirit is coming to gather the nation of Israel, okay, now in this season that we are in, the season of conversion, he's calling the body of Christ to come together in power and glory, and he's causing riptides. By his spirit, people coming together and realizing that we have the same, we have many more things in common than we realize in the Holy Ghost. And it's no longer going to be finger pointing, our denomination is better than that denomination, or this group is better than that group. It's going to be a fresh appreciation of the wonders of God working through all time up until now through the various moves of Christianity and the body of Christ. And so, what the Lord is doing also is purifying our heart and transforming us as we allow him to bring us through this process. So, I think my husband now has something to say. Do you have something to say, my husband? Okay. All right.
Well, it's a process that isn't really easy to follow because it takes a lot of dying to yourself. But the Lord's main mission in your life before you go out to the missions is to make you more like Him. He doesn't want you to be the same as you were yesterday. He doesn't want you to live and fall to your own weaknesses, because the more we commit those issues to Him, the more He is going to help us resolve whatever the issue is, whether it's inner emotional growth because of brokenness and hurts that life and the world throw at us. But the mercy of God is always there. It's there for the asking. It's there for the taking if you want it, if you want to be serious about it. Jesus waits for you to come to Him. And at the same time, He provides the grace to draw you nearer to Him. But He wants you to be open. He wants you to open your heart, open your mind towards Him. And when it genuinely occurs, it will be God's moving towards you, ultimately. But once you open yourself to Him, He will come into you. He will live in you. And if He's already been there, He will come back and open the doors even more, because He wants more of you, because of His great mercy and grace. And each of us has a story, and if every Christian in the world wrote down his story, the books, the libraries that even exist wouldn't hold them, because there would be billions of books to be written. Even over the history of the time of the church, if every saint wrote one book of 100 pages, that'd be a lot of books.
Yeah.
And a lot of testament to the glory of God. And we just need to be faithful, trust that He is leading us, learn how to truly discern what God is saying through the scriptures, through church history, through the personal history of our family. And so that we can grow, we can be released if this generational things that are holding us back from the fullness of what God wants us. By studying our family history, you might be able to figure it out, find out what the area that needs God's mercy and grace to be touched, so we can be free of things from the past. And the greatest thing is that God is a God of everlasting love. He always and consistently will love you no matter what happens, no matter how many times you fail Him. You get up on your feet and say, I'm sorry to Him, and ask forgiveness, and it's granted just as fast as I just said it.
Amen.
Jesus wants you. And when I became sick, before I got diagnosed with the leukemia, God gave me the biggest present in the world, and was also the biggest consolation of His grace and mercy and love. He gave me a divine hug. I actually felt his entire being just wrapped around me in a hug. And He didn't let go. He didn't let go. It was like His presence became a part of every cell of my body. And all I had to do was turn an eye, and He was there. All I have to do is turn my thoughts to Him. And He gave me a unique experience of His presence this year, even now. But He loves. He did that because He loved me. He did that because He wanted to encourage me to know that He was there, so that I could be a testimony to other people who have similar sickness, and glory to, you know, and pray for God's people to be healed of things like this. It's all God's mercy. It's all God's mercy. And I've grown loving Him since I was 7 years old. And He, you know, there's nothing God won't do because He loves us. He'll free us all from the traps we've come near to falling in, and the ones we've fallen in. He'll purify us. He's the purification. He's the sacrifice. He's the freedom that we seek and the joy that we want to move from in His show.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Jeff. You know, God has plans for many people. You know, we can't even look at the distractions of illness. If we're doing His will, you know, He's going to send His light from heaven, and He's going to
you know, where a certain illness would knock somebody out. He may put a capsule around a certain illness, like a certain, you know, certain forms of cancer, or, you know, and even provide a solution that would extend life for 50 years and then some because of his presence. And, you know, and we know some saints that have gone before us that because they said yes to the Lord. And the one particular, this person named Eileen George, for some of you Catholic Christians who remember her ministry, she used to have a scent of roses, and she had been diagnosed with cancer that, you know, she should have been, like, in the grave, like a year, falling asleep in the Lord, I should say, years prior to the time of the diagnosis. And I think she was in pretty much stage four. And the Lord extended her life 30 more years, okay? You know, because she had a ministry that he wanted her to accomplish, and that was her destiny. And she released many people into her ministry, and she was one of the people that had a ministry to the priest, you know, of her diocese. And signs of wonders would follow her. And the cancer never went into remission, but it never killed her either, you know. So this is what God can do, okay. He can hold back the plan of the enemy to snuff our lives out before our time, you know. Again, for many people that have fallen asleep, it's only asleep, you know. It's not even the death that, you know, that people have lived prior to Jesus. You know, they lived to a certain age, and then they died, and they were in the bosom of Abraham. Right now, we have eternal life for those who receive Jesus in your natural life. And, you know, if you know, you accomplish what you need to, then, you know, and if he doesn't, if something come and tarries a little bit, you know, then you go to sleep, and then you wake up on the other side of eternity. In a twinkling of an eyelash. So it's a little different for those believers who receive Jesus. But, you know, we have to each day do the will of God so we can stay in his will. And, you know, we have a greater assurance of eternal life. But we are, you know, kind of like dwindling down to like 13 minutes. And you know, so in a couple of minutes we are going to sign off. But I just got the sense that, you know, God, it wants, he, you know, just talked about, Dr. Jeff talked earlier about books, you know, if all the books of the kingdom were written, you know, the heaven couldn't contain them all, and the earth couldn't either, because the book is in you. Each person has a book. Each person has a destiny, okay, within them that the Lord wants to unlock, okay? And many books are still in the process of being written, and the Lord wants to release the content of those books and the books of your life to fully manifest themselves so that there can be a greater impact of the kingdom of God here upon the earth. So, Lord, I just, in your Holy Spirit, agree with you through your Holy Spirit that you are, you know, releasing these books right now. And for those who are listening, you know, just stand in agreement with me to receive what the Lord has for you, you know, and as he releases these books that are embedded in your spirit. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the releasing of those books, the opening of those books. We thank you, Lord, for the various chapters that are written for people's lives such a time as this, to have an impact in the kingdom of God. We thank you, Jesus, that no other fashion or form against these people and the books that are contained within their spirits in the name of Jesus, that weapons of the form will not prosper. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Open the books and open the doors. We thank you, Jesus, for which the stories would flow, the testimonies would flow. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shikata Maria Kandala Sotia Mashite. Shikata Mosata Lamasi. For those who are just listening right now, this is when you receive the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of tongues, the heavenly language that only your spirit and the Spirit of God know. We thank you, Jesus. The direct communication to the kingdom. And everybody has their own language between them and God.
Shikata Moshikata Lamosita Mashande. Oh Baba Shande Masola Masite. Shiketi Masola Masaya. Shikatsola Kasuya Mashi. Ikatala Roshikeria Maso. Shitida Kundiya Mashi. Isola Masotia Mashete. Ikatane Mashota Rakinde. Shikara Moshinda. Itala Masodia Mashon. I just see as I was speaking in the heavenly language that the Lord was putting swords of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is Rhema, swords of the Spirit in many people's hands. I see these fiery swords. It's not like flames that come from them. It's like the point of the swords are very, very, it's sharp and it's glowing, like with orange and yellow heat. Like if anybody's ever seen gold on like coming out of the crucible, like in some of the, you know, some of the documentaries of how they make gold or how they make, you know, how they put silver in the fire and it comes out like glowing. Well, that's how the sword is. It's like a glowy sword, but at the tip. So like orange on the inside. And as it converges up to the tip, you know, on the outside of the orange is more of like a yellow like part to it too. It's a two-toned thing that's going on there on the sword, you know, and it's real hot. And the tip is real hot. So God is doing that. He's giving people. He's releasing those kinds of swords into people's hands. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to sign off now, but I just want to sing that song again. I just want to say we love you, and we're just going to sign off with the song and just be open to what God wants to do. All right, get those tambourines out, and if you have a guitar, play that too. And we're believing God for our musical instruments and for our bigger music ministry for what he wants to do. So we just want to just offer up this to you, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
Sing it to the Lord a new song. Sing it to the Lord on the earth. Sing it to the Lord a new song. Sing it to the Lord on the earth. Sing it to the Lord a new song. Sing it to the Lord on the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus, and we love you too. Thanks for listening to Psalm, you know, WSCIRO of Blog Talk Radio, with the subject being Psalm 98. Read that psalm and sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. Bye-bye.